following presentation, Building Janet 6, was given by Jeremy Sharp and Neil Shrewry of Janet in March 2013.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this, the third session, online session on Janet 6. Just to sort of remind everybody, I think the first one we covered the sort of requirements and approach to procurement. And the second one was quite a detailed session on the technical design of Janet. And this one, as we're in the thick of actually putting Janet 6 together, is focused on the construction of Janet 6. So the agenda for the session, I'll do a brief introduction, just a recap on Janet 6, what it is and where we are. And then I'll hand over to Neil, who's the lead project manager, taking Janet 6 forward, and Neil will go through the rollout status in some detail. And then afterwards, we're obviously happy to answer any questions that come in. We've also got Rob Evans, Chief Architect of Janet 6, on hand. So this session is designed to cater for all sort of audiences. So if you've got any very sort of technical questions, just type away and somebody will respond to those. So in terms of a sort of a quick introduction for everybody, just to remind everybody that Janet 6 is the project to replace the UK-wide Janet backbone, and the current version of which we're on is Super Janet 5. And Super Janet 5 started in 2006 and ends later this year. And it's a managed bespoke built service provided to us by Verizon Business. And the approach we're taking with Janet 6 is to move away from that managed service provision and acquire the components of the infrastructure directly and run the network layers directly from the Janet Network Operations Centre. So this project, it actually started well before 2011, but in terms of engaging with those that use Janet, started back in 2011 to get to the bottom of what the requirements are for the new network. Then we had the procurement phase, which we were very much in the thick of last year, and now the rollout and obviously the transition that we're looking forward to in a few months' time. So the end goal to have everything in place is September this year, in readiness for Super Janet 5 essentially being turned off. We're working with a number of partners to construct Janet 6. Our partner in terms of constructing and providing the fibre infrastructure is Scottish and Southern Energy Telecoms. And we signed the contract after a procurement. We signed a contract with them at the end of July last year. And that's a 10-year contract, with the possibility of extending for a further 5 years. And that's worth around £30 million contract. Our partner on the optical transmission side of things is Ciena, who are an optical transmission manufacturer and provider. There we have a supply and a 5-year support agreement in place with them. And that's worth roughly about £12.8 million. And finally, our partner on the IP and Ethernet equipment is Imtech, and they are a Juniper channel partner. So they're not only providing the refresh equipment that we need to power Janet 6, but they're also supporting the install of that equipment as well. So to give you a very high level status summary of where we actually are with each of those components, we actually accepted a whole tranche of core fibre back in about a month ago now in February. So that's the inner core, so the ladder structure that comprises of the Janet backbone. We're in the process now of accepting a lot of the fibre that goes out to the regional network entry points, and that should be complete later this month. In terms of the optical transmission equipment, there's an awful lot of equipment. There's about 80, 70 to 80 POPs that we're equipping with transmission equipment. So that's quite a logistical challenge, therefore, for Ciena and their partners that they're working with. And that's being installed literally as we speak, and it has been being installed now for a good sort of 2 months, and that should be complete by the end of April. And finally, in terms of the IP and Ethernet equipment, again, that's all happening now, and that should be complete again by the end of April. Once that's all in place and we have a basic network up and running, we're ready then to do the transition into that from Super Janet 5. And one of the first sort of tasks there in the transition is to interconnect the two networks together, Super Janet 5 and Janet 6. So that'll be done roughly early May time. And then the plan is to transition two of the regional networks per week into the new network, which will essentially take us up to September this year, when we have the transmission complete and the network fully operational. The other element, which Neil will talk a little bit more about, is a program of work we're doing associated with Janet 6 to connect some UK-based strategic research facilities. And those are being provided with fibre connectivity directly into the Janet 6 backbone. And those should be complete by September this year as well. So, as I was saying earlier, we're very much focused for having everything complete by October this year, when the arrangements for Super Janet 5 stop. So now I'd like to hand over to Neil Shuri, who'll go through in some detail the where we are with the rollout. Please do, as I said earlier, feel free to ask questions in the chat box, and we'll respond to those in the question and answer session.
Thank you, Jeremy. Welcome, everybody. I'm going to take this section in three bits. Firstly, a summary and a reminder of what we're actually building, and how that's made up. Secondly, I'll move on to where we are with building it, focusing mainly on the three components being the fibre, the Ciena kit, and the routers, but also touching on a number of other smaller areas as well. And then finally, just a quick look about what's happening over the next few months to complete the timetable that Jeremy's gone through. So first of all, what we're building, this will probably look familiar to you in that it's largely a similar topology to Super Janet 5, which is exactly as we suspected, because in terms of topology, Super Janet 5 works well. Those who know the network in detail will note that the Birmingham to Nottingham piece of fibre is an additional east-west route, which gives us a bit of extra resilience in terms of traffic rerouting around the network. This entire network is roughly 6,000 kilometres of fibre, and the split is in the region of 2,500 kilometres, making up the core ladder, which is what connects the blue nodes on the diagram, and then another 3,500 making up the fibre that connects the regions into the core. And there's 79 points of presence on the network, and shortly I'll move on to just touching on what the different types of points of presence do. In terms of capacity, so the capacity within the core is N times 100 gig. On most of the routes, it is 100 gig on day one, with the exception of a few which are at 200 gig. But in terms of scalability, we can go well beyond that if we need to. And regional network connectivity will be at N times 10 gig. Most, if not all, in fact, regions are being upgraded as part of this process, with bandwidths in the new network ranging from 10 gig to 60 gig for some of our more busy regions, London, for example. So just to cover off the points of presence, the different types, and what they do. The seven Janet core points of presence. So this is the Telehouse Telecity facilities that we know and love that are on the current network, and it's also a new core pop in Leeds at an AQL data center, and also Scolocate in Edinburgh. So these are core pops that Janet has existing direct relationships with that we're expanding to become core pops on the new network. We're also getting four new core pops from SSE at the locations there. These are, in terms of what happens at them, they're the same as the Janet core pops. So these are where we have our big routers and also obviously a lot of the optical equipment as well. And these are ultimately where IP connectivity to regions ends up as well. The next batch are the transmission pops. We have eight of these from SSET. These are, I mean, they're dotted around the country, some examples of locations there. The purpose of these is to add and drop the regional fibre onto the main core fibre. And you see from the diagram that happens in varying places around the country for various regions. We have some ILA sites, meaning inline amplification sites. These are, in terms of the equipment we're buying, the transmission distance is 80 to 100 kilometres within that region. So any stretches of fibre that are longer than that need these amplification sites along the route just to amplify the optical signals. And again, from the diagrams, you'll see that on some of the longer routes we have these. And then also there's the RNEPs, which you know clearly connect the regional networks into the core, generally based at university locations with a couple of exceptions. But there, with the exception of two or three changes of location, these are pretty much as they are at the moment. We're also building a light path infrastructure. So as with Super Janet 5, over the Super Janet 5 fibre and optical equipment, we provision separate circuits which make up this light path network. We're doing the same thing over Janet 6, so separate circuits provisioned over the same fibre and CNR equipment connecting to separate routers, so separate from the production network. This diagram is the topology of the current light path network, and we be the topology of the light path network on day one of Janet 6, the exception being the capacity in the orange central core there is increasing from 10 to 100 gig. The light path network is kind of built as required by users. So this reflects what light paths are currently provisioned. That's not to say it won't change as and when new requirements arise. So how are we getting on with doing all of this? Firstly, to touch on the fibre, it's the fibre and the POPs infrastructure being supplied by SSE Telecoms. So the core fibre infrastructure, which is the blue, if you can make that out, the ladder structure Jeremy referred to, the acceptance of this took place in February 2013. And by acceptance, I mean when SSE have finished delivering the fibres, and that by that I mean some of it's on their own network, some of it's leased from third parties, and then some of it's had to be dug in. When all that's complete, they go through quite an extensive process of testing that fibre, producing quite detailed characteristics, and all that information forms a report to us. So each of the fibre routes, of which there are roughly 30 on the core, has its own report. And then there's a lot of work within Janet by the experts to go through those reports and make sure that the characteristics of the fibre meet what is contractually specified in terms of what we need to operate the network. So we went through that process in February and then accepted the core in February, 2 weeks ahead of schedule, which was a useful thing to have done as well. So the blue on the diagram is now fully under Janet's ownership, and we've started to use it, which I'll come on to when I start to talk about the CNR deployment. The regional infrastructure, it's a similar process. The colours indicate a phased approach we're taking to this. There's roughly 60 bits of fibre that make up all of this regional infrastructure. So to accept delivery of all of that in one go is obviously a lot of documents and a lot of work. So it's split into the four coloured areas there, which you can see are largely geographical. excuse me. And it's the same process. So it's a set of documents for each fibre route, and we're really in the thick of this now. So last week we received the first batch of these, and then this week we've had a second batch, and this will carry on. And the target and what we hope will happen is that by the end of March we will have gone through this process and accepted all of this regional fibre. And the indications are that we're on track to do that. So come the end of March, we will have concluded the delivery of the fibre, if you like, and we'll have accepted all of it. In terms of the DWDM Ciena equipment, so it's a Ciena 6500 platform and family of products. It's all the kit is in the country and has been so for some time. I say that because just to explain, it's manufactured in the USA. It then gets shipped in component form across to the Netherlands, which is Ciena's kind of European hub, and then it comes across to the UK. And specifically in our case, it goes to Newport. Ciena are partnering with a company called Indigo Telecoms, who are one of their preferred partners for this type of thing. And Indigo are doing a lot of the staging and installation work. 65% roughly of the kit has gone through that process, has now been deployed at the locations on the network, and the other 35% is in the warehouses being staged as we speak. In terms of what's actually involved in this process, so it began in January. That was when the kit started to arrive in the UK. The staging process really is a process of getting all the components, putting them together, putting them in racks, powering them up, dealing with any problems of bits of kit not working, that type of thing, just so it can be done in a more comfortable environment rather than doing it on site. So the process being that all happens, the kit gets bolted into the racks and then wrapped up and is ready to drop on site for installation. In terms of install, it's being done as two phases. So the first phase is purely install. So this is getting kit on site. And this is the 65%. So it's in situ. The second phase is where you get the more experienced engineers turning up to do the commissioning. And this is where they power up the kit, they connect the fiber, they fine tune the config and all that kind of good stuff. And in terms of the commissioning, last week we had something of a milestone in that. The first piece of commissioning of the first piece of fibre was complete. So between two of the sites in Docklands, we've got a live piece of fibre, if you like, connected to the kit. And the way it's working is that Ciena are working round that core network. So they'll be going west from Docklands and up around the network as over the next few weeks, carrying on their commissioning work. And the plan and aim and what we're on track to do is complete all of this activity by the end of April. Clearly, it's dependent on delivery of fibre, which is happening at the end of March, and that gives Ciena a further month to then complete the commissioning as they're doing now. Just to touch on a couple of other bits and pieces, clearly Ciena are providing all of this kit for us and they're installing it and they're configuring it. A couple of other key areas I thought it was worth mentioning, given that this is a new way of operating the network for Janet, it's a new set of kit. What we've also bought from Ciena is quite a lengthy schedule of training from them. So our engineering teams, our service desk, these types of people are going through a fairly hectic period of training at the moment just to bring them up to speed on the kit, the management systems and all the kind of things they use to operate the network. And we've also, to aid that process as well, really, we've, for 9 months, possibly a year, we've bought, if you like, an engineer from Ciena who will be placed at the Janet NOC for the next 9 months. Again, to support the network and the operation of it. So the third main component of the network are the routers. I'll touch on how we're getting on here. So in the core, so this is at the 12 or so core POPs on the network. We currently have Juniper T1600 routers on Super Janet 5. We're upgrading those to Juniper T4000s on Janet 6. Lots of reasons. I mean, one of the basic reasons that helps me understand it is the amount of 10 gig circuits we've got in the new network requires these bigger, more powerful routers. So that's new routers at all of the Janet core POPs and all of the four SSE core POPs as well. And as part of that, there's a kind of trade-in scheme with the existing routers, all that usual stuff. And on the Lightpath network, we currently have Juniper MX960 routers. We're keeping them. I think we're upgrading them to a certain extent. We're deploying new at the new POPs, for example, but it's the same platform with a slightly upgraded config. And in terms of professional services, what we've also got from Imtech as well as supply of these devices is similar to what Ciena are doing, but not to quite the same extent. It's an installation service. So they're pre-staging the kit in terms of installing a basic config, and they're installing, delivering to site and putting them in racks for the Janet engineers to then follow up and do the more detailed config. And that again is going on now. Earlier this week at the new core POP in Bristol, this activity was completed there successfully, which was good. So that's the first of many of those things happening over the next few weeks as well. A few other areas that we're working on in the background, if you like, the regional network readiness. So clearly all of the new, all of the existing regional networks need to connect to the new network. To do that, we needed to put Ciena equipment on site. So there was an initial bit of work to identify space and power to house and power up this Ciena kit, which, you know, was a smooth and successful process. And as I say, most of the equipment is on site now. So that worked well. The second point here is around the fact that every regional network is being upgraded as part of this process. There's just a bit of due diligence to make sure that routing equipment within regional networks was capable of handling this upgraded bandwidth. And again, that's that process is coming to a conclusion now, and we're happy with where we are with that. We're clearly talking about the transition internally at the moment. A lot of work's gone into planning. And as Jeremy said, the key dates are around when each regional network will migrate. So we're settling on a first draft at the moment. And over the next couple of weeks, we have a similar event to this for our regional network operators, where we'll be sharing that plan and amending to suit various constraints and preferences within each region. And once we've done that, we'll be in a position to actually issue the information to the wider community as well. Operational readiness is an area, it's specifically internally, and again, it's all to do with the fact that it's a new way of operating the network for us. So there's a lot of different areas to do with network management, fault reporting, a new set of POPs we need to access and manage. So just a lot of process driven and documentation going into to making sure that we have these things in place. Service management is quite a key one. So at the moment, we have relationships with SSCT and Ciena on a more regional basis. So some of our regional networks use SSE fiber and circuits and also have some Ciena kit deployed. But clearly what we're doing here is a much larger scale. So we're expanding on the relationships we've got in place with these companies, cementing some more formal processes as well. And we're also thinking ahead of time, really, about decommissioning of the current network. And there's two bits to this, really. So clearly Verizon have kit all over the country, which they'll need to remove in good time. But also Janet has equipment at the Verizon POPs on the current network, which clearly Janet needs to remove. So there's a bit of work at the moment going into planning that. Over the next few months, we'll see some more concrete plans for that come into play. I'll just touch quickly on the strategic research facilities, which Jeremy's mentioned. So this is part of a government initiative where we've had an amount of funding to connect what they call strategic research. And these are Janet customer institutions, but they've been identified as high bandwidth users and people who would benefit from very high capacity connectivity, which is why in terms of the project we're doing, we're bringing them onto the fibre network. And we're working on phase one, which is the four sites you see listed there. There's a phase two in the offing. I don't think we really know much more about it other than we're working on it and identifying sites at this stage. But just to say this, it's not limited to these four sites. And the diagram on the right is an example of the kind of topology we're looking at. So hopefully you can see it. So the row of pops down the left-hand side of the diagram, that's the eastern leg of the Janet 6 core, stretching from Loudoun at the top, which is Nottingham, all the way down to Docklands. And then the horseshoe coming off to the right, this is a fibre arc which brings in the Hinxton campus in Cambridge and also the Norwich Research Park. And it also links into the University of East Anglia as well. That was done kind of for convenience in that it's on the same site as the Norwich Research Park, but also in terms of the future of our regional network within East Anglia, it's a useful place to have the fibre network running through. And we're doing a similar thing in Exeter, where we're bringing in the Met Office and also the University of Exeter. And then the Francis Crick Institute in London is a more direct connectivity to two of the core points in London. So we're working on this, and timescales are later in the year, but by September. So this fibre will be in place and operational. So just to touch on the obvious next steps, really, the first one is to complete delivery of the three main components of the network. And we're very much focusing in on the end of April for all of that to be done. And there's no reason at the moment to assume that won't be the case, which is good because that's per original plans. And that's what we've been planning against in terms of future activities as well. Clearly, once we've got all of those components, there'll be a bit of work to commission the network. In terms of the Ciena equipment, all of the config is being done by Ciena. So as part of the commissioning, they're doing everything for us on their equipment. Clearly, we need to connect that equipment to our routers. We need to configure our routers. We have a management network we need to connect up and configure. So there's a lot of work for Janet engineers to do to bring all the components together. Once we've done that, clearly we transition. So there's a bit of work to finalise plans. As I say, the next few weeks leading up to the end of the month is when we'll be in a position to finalise these things. We are working on two plans, one clearly based on delivery at the end of April, which is very much our expectation. Just in terms of potential risk, we're working on a plan which deals with any potential delay in delivery of any of these components, just so we're prepared if things do happen. But I say at the moment, we don't envisage that being the case. And then from May to July will be the transition of regional networks, and clearly the detail of that will fall out of the planning we're doing at the moment. And then finally after that, so after the end of October, when Supergenet 5 ends, we'll move on to decommissioning the current network, which again I touched on earlier. And that's the obvious next thing to do. There's obviously a lot more detail and a lot more activities going on, but that's the main components, which I think is useful to touch on. I think it's back to Jeremy.
Okay, thank you, Neil. Flip the camera pan across. I really wanted to finish off bringing everybody back to why we're doing this, and just reminding sort of everybody of the requirements, because it's also helpful for us to do that regularly as well. So up there at the sort of top of the requirements really is to deliver a highly reliable and secure network. And we've obviously done that through some careful design choices, and Neil's sort of highlighted a few of those in previous presentations, particularly Rob Evans has given some very detailed presentations and written in quite some detail about the design choices that we've made there to make this a highly reliable network. We're using, as you've seen, carrier class network equipment and carrier class partners, if you like, and infrastructure. And we have obviously contractually in place with them very strict SLAs with the usual sort of tools that you'd expect in a contract to focus the provider's minds on adhering to those SLAs. And we've brought the management of the infrastructure in-house into the Janet Network Operations Centre. So we're actually integrating the management of the whole network across the layers. In terms of the next sort of high level key requirement, it's about providing a network that is flexible in meeting future demand. So it's something that we can grow into. As I said before, the fibre infrastructure we have for 10 years. In technology terms, obviously at the transmission and the IP level, technology tends to move very fast. And what we've done recently with Supergenet 5 and into Janet 6, we've obviously made a technology choice of the IP equipment, and we invest in that year on year to ensure that the sort of technology is current, and we've been very happy with the current sort of technology partner that we're working with in that area. And we expect a similar approach to how we work with Ciena as well. And the next high-level requirement is about providing a network that is more agile in dealing with change. So we've put the destiny of the network, if you like, and the ability to reconfigure the network and change the network in terms of responding to customer requirements in the hands of directly in the hands of ourselves. So it's managed by the Janet Network Operations Centre. And of course, we always have, and certainly will be having, a very close working relationship with our industry partners in terms of a very intimate knowledge of the technology roadmaps and the ability as well to influence those roadmaps. That's quite key to us. So, for example, we have already started discussions on looking at the sort of next bandwidth technology. With both Juniper and with Ciena in terms of expecting the network to be upgradable to 400 gig components from the 100 gig components that we're currently using now. So that really concludes the main body of the presentation. Just really wanted to mention a sort of a couple of other things. With NetWorkshop coming up, and I'm sure many of you will be attending that, we've dedicated a whole plenary session to Janet Six, where there'll be the sort of whole cast of the key people in Janet involved in Janet Six, but also we've invited our the sort of two key infrastructure providers to take the stage. So we've got a representative from Ciena and from SSET. And we hope to give you a more of an insight in terms of what it does take behind the scenes to build a large national infrastructure, and give you a few sort of war stories associated with that, nearly taking out the power to in parts of Glasgow City, to disabling parking meters in London, to having porter cabins sort of sitting on manhole covers preventing access, and so on. So we'll give you a bit of an insight into the range of challenges associated with building an infrastructure like this. I think the final point I just wanted to make as well, in terms of the transition, because it's a question we do regularly get asked, will there be any disruption to service? What I can say is no, there will not be. All of the planning that we've done to date, it is, will ensure that there will be no disruption. And of course, we've got the two networks essentially running in parallel. So should anything sort of go wrong, we obviously fall back to the current sort of Super Janet 5 infrastructure.
This recording was brought to you by Janet Training. Further information is available on our website at www.ja.net/training.